Any praises? Yes. Go ahead. We don't need that. It's not going to be on the World Wide Web. So.
About 4 weeks.
Yeah, I remember, everybody on the planet can listen to this
That's
now.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
Everybody.
Good.
Good. Even kings.
Kings. Okay. About 4 weeks ago, I was having so much trouble with sinuses. Y'all know how when I go back in the back, it was this. So the doctor, I went to the doctor, and he told me this had to come out. I said, no, I don't like pain. And I said, 2 weeks ago, I was healed of them. There's no trouble up there at all. It's gone.
Praise the Lord.
And then I've been having real bad stomach trouble. That's why I haven't been here off and on. And the other night, it got so bad. Mark called out of the blue. That was why I know. And we prayed. And something led me to believe, to get on the computer, that the way I was eating was wrong for my body. So I got on, asked his niece to come over, and she got on, got me a little help. And then I asked Cindy, and she gave me a whole bunch of it. And I thought, well, everything's worth a try. I've tried everything. So I gave up all my refined sugar, all my refined flour. I went on whole wheat. I gave up soft drinks, tea. There's one thing left, water. I do it all the time. Yeah, I can have that. Whole bunch of vegetables I could have, whole bunch of vegetables I couldn't have. So I have been free of this stomach trouble now. This is my third day. And I have to pray every day that I can stay on this.
Amen.
Because I'm a big eater, and what they've given me to eat, it's about that much a day. So I have to pray over every meal that I can stay on this so that my stomach will line up with what I want it to be and what I know God wants it to be so that I can be here all the time that I need to be like I was. And I'm going to give God the thing that I've come this far now, and I know I'm going to keep on it.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes, Amy. Come on up here.
Yesterday, I go to my grandma's, and I clean her house every Saturday. And after we clean, then we go to lunch, and then we go to the mall. And so she goes and gets a Starbucks. And so I went and sat down, and I was playing around with my phone, and this elderly lady came up to me. She said she was in her 80s. She didn't look like she was in her 80s, though. She came up, and she sat down right next to me, and she's like, can I talk to you? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, what's going on? And she's like, she goes, you know what? And she started tearing up. She goes, my daughter just died yesterday. And she just started, like, pouring out her heart. And I was like, wow. I was like, well, do you know the Lord and stuff? She's like, you know what? I do. She goes, that's the only way that I've gotten through all of this. And I was like, wow, well, I'm going to be praying for you and stuff because my grandma was coming. And Sammy was with us. And so we got up, and I gave her a hug and stuff. And my grandma was like, I got to go to the bathroom. I was like, okay, you go to the bathroom. I was like, Sammy, come with me. And so we went back, and I was like, can we pray for you? And she was like, yeah. She goes, that would be awesome. You know, that would be nice and stuff. So me and Samantha got to pray for this lady and stuff, and her daughter's son. And then she gave us a hug and just said, thank you so much. And her friend that was there, he gave us a hug and stuff. So it was just awesome. And so it was like, whoa, you know, it was like the weirdest but coolest thing. And she was hard of hearing. And there were these two Indian people that were sitting. They were like a couple. They were eating popcorn that were right here. And this woman was hard of hearing, so she couldn't hear. So I had to pray loud. And these people were like staring at us and stuff. But it was awesome. Like nothing like that ever happens to me. So, yeah, I know. I felt like I was you, like just that you were there, you know, just with all of your stories and stuff. So I thought it was like.
Praise you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yes. I know you got one, and I will bring the mic to you since you have a child. Praise the Lord. You want to hold it for her?
Yeah. As most of y'all know, last week I had prayer over my bladder because I couldn't pee. I couldn't fill a full bladder. I couldn't pee. Well, Monday I got up, and I could tell my bladder was full, but I couldn't pee at all. And then I was sitting on the couch, then all of a sudden I had this, and while I was praying too, I had this feeling of a full bladder. And then like a couple of seconds after that, I felt like I was going to pee my pants if I didn't get to the bathroom in time. So I went to the bathroom, and I was able to pee. So the Lord healed me. I still have ways to go. I'm still on medicine, but I believe in full healing. So I believe in him for it.
And you look like no depression's on you anymore. You look real joyous. Are you? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah, you come on up here. I got to call you up here anyway, so.
Praise God. I just want to tell everybody I love y'all and what a blessing you are again. And Wednesday morning I was working in the food bank in the back, and Pastor Mark had asked me about the my kids ever wanted to come out to the youth night, youth group, that I could, you know, let them know and they could come out. And for some reason I just said, my son will probably be the first one to come in. And it was that same night that he came to prayer meeting with me. And it was it was me and Pastor Mark and Donna and Jamie and my mom and my son. But he was already saying a couple days later that he's ready to come back to church with us. So I'm just thanking God for how quick he's moving, you know, and in the end times and everything. So I just want to say, you know, tell God thank you for that and for everybody's prayers. You mentioned Brownsville Revival this morning, and I'd never even heard of it but a couple of times. You know, I've heard of the Lakeland Revival, but I was telling Mom on the way here, it's like I'm always amazed because I tell Mom, oh, my gosh, God read my mind, you know, or he heard what I was saying on the way. But I was showing Mom a video. I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and I couldn't sleep for 4 or 5 hours, and all I did was watched on YouTube the Brownsville Revival.
Oh.
And there was these two little Baptist ladies, and I think it was called Where Are We From or something.
Where Are We From?
And I mean, I've never got on there and looked at Brownsville. I didn't even know who John Kilpatrick was. I think is that what his name? And I'd known Steve Hill and everything, but I told Mom, I said, I couldn't quit watching it for like 4 hours, and I watched the Lakeland Revival movie, and it was just like, I was just so excited, and I just felt like God was saying, that's what y'all getting ready for. It's going to be better. It's going to be better than...
Yeah. Yes, Lord. Oh, y'all don't even sound excited. Oh, God. Not more. Not more, God. Say it again. Say that again.
It's going to be better. It's going to be...
Better
yeah. Better than ever, but any other revival ever. Yeah.
Yes,
and he's... You know, God's been giving me dreams and you know, like visions and stuff, and... the devil would come to me in my sleep, and he would use my sleep to torture me, you know, and I would be scared to go to sleep. But I went to Butch and Teresa's church, or we had the thing Friday night, and I was telling him, God completely flipped it around to where I don't even get dreams unless they're about him, you know, about something to do with God now. And is it okay to tell my dream? I had a dream Wednesday night that my kids were in these houses. You know, I don't know where they were, but I could just see my different kids different houses. And it was like earthquakes, but they wasn't outside, or the ground wasn't splitting open or anything. But inside, it was shaking the houses that they were in. And they were calling and saying, Mom, I need to come home where it's safe. And they was running home, and I could just see kids running home instead of... You know, and instead of walking or crawling or begging or, you know, saying, will you please come to church, they were running home. And God just laid it on my heart about your all son, David, right, and Logan. And it's just like I was seeing them come back with like more anointing than God ever had on them before. And they were running back. They wasn't having to be begged or anything. And I just felt like God's scary shake up their world enough to bring them in. So.
Yeah. You stay right there. Yes, she did get to pray for somebody on Wednesday.
But I was in the food bank and in the back, and I heard Pastor Mark holler for me, and I come out, and he was sitting right where Dawn is at with a young man, and God really dealt with him, and he was crying, and he had been on, like, he'd been at the methadone clinic, him and his mom both, I think he said one, and I think he was still on drugs, wasn't he? He was pretty messed up when he was in, but I just thank God that he sat there and he let Pastor Mark pray with him and gave his heart to God. And you know, just, I never thought I could. I'm sorry, y'all. I just never thought God would use me as much as he has to, you know, the people that come in and you wouldn't even think you could identify with anybody. But, you know, when he looked at me and said, "You probably know how I feel," you know, and it just feels so good for God to use me. It just feels so good. So I just thank God for the first sow of millions that I'm believing God to bring in, you know. I'm not believing him for hundreds or thousands. I believe that I'm going to touch millions. So I'm just surrendering myself completely, you know, to whatever God wants to do in his will. So thank you all, and I love you.
I want to, and now wait a minute, while you're up here. Glenna has chosen to be a 3-6 prayer warrior. And you go, "Well, she hasn't been doing this thing very long." Yeah, you can see the passion in her.
Yes.
Hadn't faded, has it? You know, we need to go to work for the Lord before it starts fading.
Yes.
Really. If you stay busy for the Lord, you'll stay close to the Lord. I heard somebody say one time, for every Christian that dies from overwork, 1,000 die from inactivity. So, present this to you, and the second of every month is your appointed day to pray for revival in the Highway 150 corridor, and it's all explained on there. So, bless you. Thank you for being faithful to take the call. And all of y'all that are, by the way. And if anybody else wants to take that mantle up, all you got to do is tell me and I will print you one up. You agree to pray from 1 hour between 3-6 one day a month. And the goal is 126,978. We're not quite there yet, so there's still room for you. Get in now before it's too late. Well, we can always make it bigger, I guess. We can buy more paper. Anything else I should? Oh, Tuesday night. What's Tuesday night? What is it? The Highway 150 corridor prayer meeting will be at Faith Victory Center at 7:00. No prayer meeting here Wednesday because we're going down there and praying together, okay? I mean, if you want to pray Wednesday night, I hope you do anyway. But please show yourself strong, Faith Harvest, since it was your church that birthed this thing. Not your church, God's church, but he birthed it out of here. There's a meeting Friday night. Come ready to laugh. Right here, Friday night. 7 p.m. Help me, Jesus. Yes, Albert and Tina Cannon. One from Canada, one from England. They live in London, England. Spent several years at the Toronto Outpouring. Y'all know anything about the Toronto Outpouring? Well, it's probably where Brownsville anointing came from. It was more of a refreshing. It was more of laughter and joy. And whereas the Brownsville revival took it into repentance, but it was God. And so come, and I'm not making light about laughing, but they do impart joy and laughter, and that laughter is a good medicine. Some of us need some medicine because we're too sour. We need to laugh a little. No, I'm serious. We need to laugh a little bit. Come on, young people. You can be here too. I used to get whipped for laughing in church. Come laugh in church, man. What a refreshing, huh? Praise the Lord. Anything else? Yes.
I got a praise. First of all, I got to go home and see all my lovely aunts. They're all over 70, and take my mom, who's 80, to see them. So that was awesome. I got to stick my toes in the ocean. I didn't get to lay out or swim or anything because I was so busy with mom, but I got to stick my toes in the ocean, and I got to see it a whole lot. So that's awesome to me. My tan came from just being there. See, you get a suntan when you're closer to the equator. So when I got home, I didn't go anywhere I got home on Saturday morning really, really early. I didn't go anywhere till Wednesday because I was just exhausted because I drove all but 2 hours, and it took 14 hours to get home, which usually takes 10 to 12, but everybody and their mother was going to the mountains Saturday or Friday night. I don't know why, what was in the mountains, but they were all going. So we were in like traffic jam for 2 hours.
We sat in it on the way home, didn't we?
Really?
Yeah.
It was terrible. So anyway, I was going to go to the grocery and take Bradley to play with a friend, and I got hit. It was my fault. I pulled out in front of him, but I got hit. Never been in a wreck. Was a total mess. So I know you all prayed for me, and I thank you because God answered prayer right away. Janet called or Facebooked or something, told me her son Chris at Greenville Auto Works for a commercial right there, fixed his car. So he fixed my car for cost. So I was very blessed, very, very blessed. So even though it was a wreck and it was a really unexpected expense, I wasn't hurt. Bradley wasn't hurt. The other people weren't hurt. It was a bad accident. It could have been, there could have been people killed if it just been a little bit, you know, if it just hit a little different place or, you know, it was a really bad accident. So anyway, thanks the Lord, huh? No, mine are flat.
Oh.
And I'm not going to get them fixed. The police asked me that twice. I don't know what their problem was, but, you know, they were flat, so.
Well, Danny had a head-on one time in his pickup, and I don't think the airbag came out, did it? So what good are they? All they're good for is keeping kids out of the front seat. That's the way I see it anyway. You got one? Praise the Lord. Israel, well, come on up. Come on up. I've got a lot to say, but I'm going to say it quick, so that's okay. Not a problem.
Okay, this is Israel Offering Sunday. It was supposed to be last week, but there's more people here today, so we're going to do it today. more money here today. So I will pray, and you all get your offering ready. There's the basket, and we want to continue to bless those ministries we're given to, and I believe it's good soil that we're sowing into, so, and we've been seeing fruit from it, so let's give generously as much as we can. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just stand on your promise today, Lord, that those who bless Israel, you will bless, and those who curse Israel, you will curse, Lord. So we bless Israel today, Lord. We love Israel, Lord, and we will continue to support Israel and those ministries in Israel that give out, Lord. And we pray for Laquette Ministries, Lord, that you prosper that ministry, Father, and you send them everything they need to carry on that work, Lord, to feed the poor and the hungry. And Lord, we pray for the apple of your eye ministries, Lord, that you continue to send them support, Lord, that they can carry on their work, Lord, to pray over Jerusalem and over Israel, Lord. Strengthen those prayer warriors, Lord. Give them encouragement today, Lord, to keep on, Father. And we just ask your blessing on every person that gives today, Lord, that whatever they sow, they will also reap, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen.
If you want to bless Israel. Hey, look, if you don't have money, that's cool, really. We're living in some difficult times. But get your piece of paper and make up your own little sign and say, Lord Jesus, bless Israel. Could you do that? It's really easy. It's a step of faith. It's blessing Israel. It's what it's all about. It's not about the money. It's about, yeah, that's good. It's about blessing. It's an act of blessing Israel. And God will multiply that back to you. What'd you say? Is this thing on? Are we being recorded? Okay, no, I just thought I'd ask before I started, before I said something that shouldn't be on there. If y'all know people that aren't here today, and I'm sure you do, listen, you write this down or memorize it. WWW, faith, number 4, harvest, .com, right? Is it a small F or a big F, or does it matter? A big F? She's looking it up. You can listen to all the sermons in the archives, which there's only a couple, three in there, but weekly you'll be in. Please don't stay home and say, I'll listen to it on the web. I'll cut it off if you start doing that. But if you miss, praise the Lord, or you're at work, could y'all do me a huge, like, really huge favor, like, really quick? Yes. The number 4, not F-O-U-R. There it is. A large W on the WWW. Okay, that's easy. And thank you. Polly has went to school and done a whole lot of work on his website, which she never intended to build a website to start with. But, in other words, to get a podcast, you almost had to do that. So, we have a podcast too. But this will come up on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on iTunes. This is our website. Yeah, punch in, get on iTunes, and you can punch in Faith Harvest, and it'll come up. It's a sign. You'll see the sign out front. It's the first one that comes up. And you can subscribe, and they'll automatically download in your account, so you won't even have to do anything. So I think that's pretty fantastic. Video's next. Reach near somebody. I'm not going to get up, but reach near somebody and bless them and greet them and give them a hug, okay? Somebody near you.
Bless you.
Bless you.
You did get some hugs. You look nice.
Bless you. Hi, honey. Hi, give me a hug. Really? Y'all go to Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, really, this is, I'm just going to read it out of the New Living Translation. I got the Amplified and all that on here, but I think this says it really short and sweet. Y'all ready? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So we was in a, I think, Opal and Glenna, I think you were at a Glow the other night, weren't you? Awesome, awesome teaching this lady had. I can't even remember her name, but that's not unusual. But her and her daughter were there and had a powerful, powerful word on grabbing more anointing and how if you've got a wounded soul that you cannot operate in the anointing the way God wants you to. It didn't say you weren't saved. They didn't say you weren't going to heaven, but it said you had a wounded soul. And when you minister, listen, when you minister to somebody out of a wounded spirit or soul, you know what? You minister garbage to them sometimes. God wants to clean us up so he can use us. We're in the process. I'm not saying don't minister, but I'm just saying we're in a process. Right? And we need to get rid of those soul hurts, those broken hearts. Right, Jason? You got rid of yours yet? You didn't have none, no. You were, yeah, everything was perfect in your life. I remember. But if you minister out of woundedness, you'll minister hurt in that area. You'll minister hurt, if that makes sense at all. You know, if you've got rejection on you, you'll minister rejection. Or you'll be afraid to minister because you're rejected and you're afraid everybody will reject you. And you know what? When you are rejected and when you walk in a spirit of rejection, guess what? You do get rejected. And people don't do it intentionally, but it's like this. These feelers are out there going, reject me, reject me, reject me. And believe me, it's principle. She taught on the principles of cleansing stream without a different format, but it was the exact same. Anyway, it was very good teaching. She had 5 pages laid out, and you know, you didn't even have to open your Bible. You could sit there and read. It was scripture, scripture, scripture. Good word. But anyway, afterwards, her and her daughter ministered prophetically. So I'm like, and they said, would anybody like prayer? And everybody just sitting there like a bunch of bumps on the log. So I'm like, yes, I will get prayer. I'll always get prayer. And so she started ministering, and they're praying in the spirit, and like, I'm not getting nothing, you know? How many of y'all ever been around prophetic people? Y'all ever been around prophetic people? And you know they're going to minister to you prophetically. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you go, Jesus, I plead the blood over the stuff that you know's inside of me, God. And he does. He does. He covers you. Because we're not all cleaned up inside. Amen? We've all got things. And so Jesus, cover me in the blood and just shield me from any. And she's like, I'm not getting nothing. I'm like, surely there's something good in there. I didn't blank out everything. So she said, I don't know what this means. She said, somewhere in your life, in your ministry, she said, you're a pastor, right? Well, she didn't know that, but she knew it. She said, somewhere in your past, there was this big roadblock put up in front of you. I didn't even tell you this, did I? And it said you warred and you fought, but you went around that roadblock. And I thought, okay. There's been a lot of them. She said, I'm going to be really bold. And she was a real soft-spoken lady. She said, that roadblock was not God. It was not God. So you need to go back and kick the fire out of that thing and break it and press it and pull it down. And so I knew in my heart which roadblock it was. You know, when you go around a roadblock, what happens? You start compromising. And I'm not talking sin. I'm talking compromising what you believe, compromising what you say, questioning, has God really said this to you? Come on. Y'all ever done that before? So I recognize that. And I even know I knew the entry points because I'm going, yeah, right there, right there, right there. Sometimes you just want to keep the peace. Jesus said, be a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. You know what the gun that won the Old West was called? Was it a Colt? A Colt peacemaker. It made peace. Whenever it fired, there was peace. But listen, y'all are looking at me like it's demonic. You know what the definition of peace is in Hebrew? Total destruction of your enemy. My enemy, hey, I'm not a murderer. My enemy is not flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places that come to destroy my destiny. It's time to take it back, friends. Every one of us, it's time to take it back as a church. And please don't get jealous on you, okay? Don't get jealous on me. I'm calling a lot on Glenna right now because she's got the passion and the fire. And I'm going to pull on it. Y'all do too, but you've let it wane down. I have too, but I pull out the fire. She said, revival, I see revival coming. I said, I like to hear that. That confirms what I already know. But I've lost some of the heat and the passion because we've been waiting so long. Yeah, gasoline. Praise the Lord. Shete kurosate, Jesus. Want the interpretation of that? Ask God. I don't know. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for ministering to us, God. We thank you for speaking truth to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for pulling the veil down between us, God. We thank you, Jesus, for a clean and a pure heart. We thank you for the wind of repentance, God, blowing over us, blowing over this church. You've challenged us, God, to walk in the wind of repentance, God, so that the wind of revival could come. So, Lord, we repent. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to be quick, really. I know a lot of y'all are going to visit Dad today. Hopefully, if you still got one, mine's gone, but hopefully you can do that. So you be a blessing wherever you go today. Matthew 12:33. God would never do nothing in a Father's Day service anyway. There's too much going on. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good. This ought to be a memory verse for you. Or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by what? Hello, what's a tree known by? Jason, is it known because it's got a certain kind of leaves on it? If that's, yeah, if it's not a fruit tree, we're talking about fruit trees. Jesus came to a fruit tree one time, a fig tree, didn't he? And there was nothing but leaves. And it was the season for fruit. It was like when a cherry tree is supposed to have cherries on it, he came expecting figs. And there were none. And he said, cut it down, throw it in the fire. Then he told a parable. We won't go into that. But when Jesus comes looking for fruit, he's got a right to it. He's got a right to the fruit. Look at our life. Look at your life right now, okay? Look at your life right now. There's something called the fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Y'all know it by heart, don't you? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you operate in the fruit of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, like I say, we know that by heart. But through the day, how many of these attributes do you have or lack of? Patience? Well, it'll get tried on you when you get out there in traffic, won't it? There's all kinds of things that try to pull you out of the anointing, that try to pull you out of the peace of God. Anyway, back to Matthew. Make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. In other words, Jesus said, let's just make this simple. Either you're bad fruit or you're good fruit. Is that what he's saying? Brood of vipers. Who's he talking to? Prostitutes and drug addicts and drunks. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's concerned. He loves the lost people, man. There's evidence. When they come in here on Wednesday, there's great evidence that he loves lost people. He ministers to them. He prays with them. He reaches out to them. He feeds them. He waters them. He does miracles for them. He gives them job where there's no jobs. He fixes their financial problems. He heals their bodies. He's doing this all for people that don't even claim to be Christians. Listen to this really closely. Brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? I would say he's talking about hypocrites. Would you say that? They say one thing, but really, they're not following what they say. You ever run into that in life where somebody tells you to do something, but you ever heard that? Sometimes parents even use it. Don't do what I do. Do what I say. Then they got a right to do that, kids, because they are mom and dad. They've got a right to do that. It's not right, but they got a right to. For out of the abundance, tell me what abundance means to you. Give me a word for abundance. Overflow. Kristen, you always got a good word. You got one? Oh, you put your hand up. I didn't. Abundance, majority. Overstock. Plenty. Out of the plenty, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So Jesus right here, man, he gave you a litmus test. I believe that's the right way to say it. I think litmus is a paper that when you put it in certain fluids, it'll turn certain colors depending on what it is, right? I think if you've got sugar diabetes, you can put this paper in, well, you know what you put it in, and it turns either, I don't know what colors, but it'll change colors and let you know whether you got too much sugar or you got the right amount of sugar going on. But Jesus gave us a test. It's like, listen to what comes out of your mouth. Because he said, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. I'm not talking about when we're hanging out under the steeple. We don't have a steeple, but I'm talking about what goes on when you're in the car by yourself. I'm talking about when your family gets on your nerves. I'm talking about when your boss at work gets on your nerves. That don't ever happen, does it, Dan? No, never. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about life. Because everybody's watching. Everybody's watching you. When you name your name a Christian, everybody's watching you. Well, that ain't fair. Well, sure it's fair. You've named your name after the Most High God of the universe. You're expected to be different. Don't mean they're going to like it. In fact, they like you better when you fail, because then they can call you a little hypocrite. And they've even got justification to do so. Right? I remember one time, see, I'm not going to say this. I remember one time Steve Hill was preaching, and he said, friend, he said, you call yourself a Christian. He said, do the world a favor and change your name to heathen. Because people don't need to hear the word Christian, and I'm pointing at you, Sarah. No, I'm not. But he said, do God a favor, change your name. If you're going to live like the world, if you're going to talk like the world, don't name the name of Jesus. They're going to get the idea he's like that too, because Christians literally means little Christ. Little anointed ones. Look it up. That's what it means. So I'll try to read the rest of this. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I'm just going to take a short excerpt out of the Four Winds. It's given September 29, 2002. Just a short piece of it, because we need to go to that roadblock and we need to bust through it. We need to bust through who we are. We have to bust through the proclamation we've made. As I was walking to the woods to pray this morning, I was thinking of God's word to Faith Harvest Assembly last week. If you take on the Four Winds, you will be misunderstood. You will be persecuted. I was praying and thinking, do I want to be persecuted? Answer, no, I do not. God said, are you willing to be persecuted for my kingdom? Answer, yes, Lord. I don't know how, but I ask for grace. And God gave me a scripture, godly sorrow leads to repentance. The sorrow of this world leads to sickness, depression, and death. Death by the hand of the enemy, but if allowed to come to fruition, self-inflicted death slowly by degrees or suddenly by one violent act. Behold, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Behold, I came to bring you repentance on you, on this house, on this land. Multiplied millions in this country. Listen to this. Multiplied millions. How much more now in this country are taking by degrees, they are taking their lives through fornication, sex out of marriage, drugs, prescription, and illegal. One is acceptable, one is not, but they are both deadly. Fear not the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can destroy the body and soul in hell. Fear my judgment on an unrepentant land. Fear my wrath on a wayward, lustful bride. Behold, I have called you, saith the Lord, not to be well spoken of by the religious organizations of this earth, not to be girded up by the praises of men and women. I have called you to expose the wayward bride, to call out the bride before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Repent, repent, repent. Before the bride starts to walk down the aisle and stands at the altar, before the trumpet sounds and the wayward, unclean bride, shame is multiplied and consumed in more shame. Before ungodly sorrow and the attacks of the accuser leads to death. Before the question is asked by the Lord's officiate of the wedding, the guard set at the door of the wedding banquet, is there any reason why this bride shall not enter into the wedding feast, the chamber of the groom? And maybe I'll paste this on our page so you can read the whole thing. Let's stand up. And the reason I was going to do communion like we always do communion, but I decided, the Holy Spirit said, go look at Corinthians and see what it says about taking communion. And it talks about taking it unworthily. And it said, because some people take the Lord's table unworthily, they are weary and sick and even dying. So the only thing it takes is to worthily come to the Lord's table is to have a repentant heart and to get everything under the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we will listen to your voice right now. Let's say that. Lord Jesus, I will listen to your voice. Holy Spirit, I will obey you. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be forgiven. I want to be a faithful bride. Lord, even when I have sinned against you, I have defiled the wedding table. Lord Jesus, I thank you, you are holy. I thank you for your blood that washes away every sin. Every sin. How would you like to be just totally clean today? How would you like to be totally, completely forgiven for everything you've ever done? That thing that every time you think about it, it brings shame to you. And it's between you and God. Nobody wants to know how bad you've been, but you know what? Jesus does want you to repent. And you must repent to enter the kingdom of heaven. And repent means, yes, I want to be forgiven, Jesus, but it also means, Jesus, not only do I want to be forgiven, I want to go the right way now. I'm tired of going the wrong way. I'm tired of the devil dragging me down. I'm tired of walking in guilt and shame. You know what? Y'all listen, keep this spirit. There's a reprobate church rising up in the world. There's an Antichrist spirit rising up over the church right now, and it's settling on the church. And the Holy Spirit would say to you, don't listen to what men say. Don't listen to what Pastor Mark says. Listen, but check it out. Check it out in the Word of God to see if it's true. If you're in a church and they're telling you it's okay to be a pervert, it's okay to be homosexual, it's okay to be this and that and this and that, and it goes totally against what the Word of God says, guess who's still right? You can code it over all you want, friend. The Baptist, I love Baptists, man. If it wasn't for Baptists, I wouldn't be standing here this morning, okay? Soul winners. But the Southern Baptist Convention... Now, they've got people coming to this convention and saying, you know what? We're homosexual, and we feel like we have the right to preach. Now, they're not going to bow to it, but I just want you to know when pressure starts coming like that against a conservative denomination, know that it's at the door. And now this is on World Wide Web, and when they hear me say this, hater! I don't think so. I love everybody. God loved me when I was lost in a heathen pornography, ever foul thing I was in. He loved me, so he loves everybody, no matter what your sin is, but you can't keep it there. You got to repent. You've got to give it to God. You've got to get it under the blood. The gospel, short gospel. You are a sinner. The Bible says everybody has sinned. Everybody's fallen short of God's glory. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved Mark Avery. For God so loved Donna Avery. For God so loved Aaron Flores. For God so loved Charles Manson. For God so loved Jeffrey Dahmer's. For God so loved Adolf Hitler that he gave his only begotten son so that if we would just trust, adhere to, and follow Jesus, we will be saved. Now, I'm not saying all the people I named did that. I'm just saying it was available to the vilest of the vile. And don't let it pee you off when somebody, really a heathen more than you, gets saved.
But God, I wasn't that bad. How come you're using them? Because they're letting him. Because they're grateful. Was it Jesus said? Look at this heathen. This total heathen. There's a total heathen that owned millions of dollars to the king. And then there's one that owed 50 cents. And he forgave them both. He said, which one will love the most? Well, I suppose the one that owed millions of dollars. Correct. So don't get upset when people get on fire because they've been forgiven for so much. They are just so grateful. Yes. You've been forgiven for just as much, but you just don't realize it because you were a pretty good child. But you were lost. So let's hold our hand up to Jesus. No, let's not hold our hand up. Our foot. No, I just want to say, I knew this was going to be short, and I'm shortening it even now. Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life. Jesus paid everything on the cross so you could fulfill it. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And God never wanted anybody to go to hell except Satan and his demons. The only way you'll go there is if you choose to follow the enemy and you don't, you know, a choice to not follow Jesus is a choice to follow the enemy. So just know that you've made a choice today.